Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this morning that we can come and worship you on this Sunday and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet on one side. It's got sermon notes. If you'd like to take sermon notes, fill in the blank. You can do that. There's ample room. If God speaks to you, write it down. Date it. Well, there's a date on there. But write it down so that you have a record of what God is speaking to you about. On the other side are some devotions that you can take home with you and use throughout the week. And if you're listening online, there's an downloadable PDF file that will be available with both of those documents. This message is specifically designed for those who are discouraged. If you're hurting in your life right now, my prayer is that this will speak to you. And I know that throughout our days, there will be times when we're hurting. Now, as we come to Haggai today, here's the quick backstory. Again, it starts with King Solomon building a magnificent temple of God where God resided. It was incredible. But then Solomon built a shrine for his wives, and then the people began to worship idols instead of God. And then God told them, I'm going to correct you in this. And it was through a takeover by Babylon that decimated Jerusalem and absolutely destroyed the temple. 50 years later, about 50,000 are allowed to come back to rebuild their homeland and the temple. They get the foundation and the temple altar built, and then they're met with some resistance. It got hard. It got hard. And instead of doing the hard right, they did the easy wrong, and they stopped for about 14 years. And then God raised up the prophet Haggai and called the people back to task. Don't just focus on your houses, focus on God's house. Let's put God first. And God gave them 3 steps to take, one at a time, get them to build the temple again. 1, go up to the mountain. 2, bring back temple. 3, start building the house. Step 1, step 2, step 3. And now let's pick up the story with that context in mind. And so the response of Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people, read it with me. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. In Haggai chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, this is what Scripture teaches us. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people, and they said, let's say it all aloud. This is the good news of God. And they said this. God said, I am with you. God said, I am with you. Then in verse 14, it goes on to say this. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua, read the rest with me, and all of the whole remnant of all of the people. What did God do? He stirred up the spirit of the governor, the high priest, and of all the people. And what does God often do in your life? Doesn't God often stir up your spirit and give you hope to accomplish something? Something that God puts on your mind. God did this for the people then. He does it for his people today. He gives them a sense of faith. We're supposed to rebuild the temple. He stirred up their spirits, and this will happen for those of you who are followers of Jesus. He wants to build the church. Not just this church, the kingdom. He wants the kingdom to grow, and he's going to stir up your spirit so that you will be a part of that. There will be those times, like out of the blue, like I think we're supposed to do this. You'll have faith for something and you want to attack it, and that's because God has stirred up your spirit. Some 20 years ago, God stirred the hearts of the people here in Heartland, and they built everything from the kitchen south through the parking lot. And because of that stirring, we had a place to play our 4th annual cornhole tournament yesterday and to hold a mystery dinner theater 2 weeks ago to invite people who are not a part of this church to come in, easy invites. Now the story in Haggai goes this way. They came and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty. They're saying, we can do this. We're going to build God's amazing temple again. We can do this. 1 month goes by and all of a sudden it seems like they quit. 1 month goes by. We can do this. A month later, they fizzle out. They had one of those moments like, is this all there is? This is pathetic. This temple is pathetic. There isn't much progress here. And all of a sudden, everybody was discouraged. Discouraged. They were embarrassed, like, we're trying to do our best and you don't like it. And so they just quit 1 month in. We can do this. 1 month later, they fizzle out. Let's be honest. How often does this happen in our lives? We're going to do this, we're going to attack this, and then we flame out before we even get started. I mean, I've done it. I don't remember when, maybe when I was a kid, I always wanted to draw. I always wanted to be able to draw well so that people, when you showed the picture, they would see it and they would go, oh, that's cool. We were at Barnes & Noble, I think this was in 2014, and they had this drawing kit, 3 pencils, an eraser, paper, and all of this stuff. And so I bought it. I was stirred up inside. So back in February of 2014, I used this book called The Draw Squad by some guy named, by Mark, and something Lene used with the kids years ago. And for several nights, and when I looked at the pad that I was practicing on, I got to about 7 nights just working on drawings. About 29 different shapes and figures, working on depth and surface and density, shading and the like, and then I stopped. I flamed out. And then I got this book a little while later, maybe a year or two later. It says 50 things to draw, and I'm guessing here in about the 4 years that I've had it, I've drawn a horse, a panda, a couple of snails, and a couple of penguins. You know how far that gets me? About this far into the book. And then what did I do? I flamed out. I just got a little discouraged. The drawings aren't perfect. It takes me a lot of time. And I feel like I'm just imitating what they're doing. It's not like, wow, it just came out of nowhere. And so I haven't made more time to invest in getting to the point of drawing regularly. We're all like this to some degree in our lives. We start off on a project exploring an old or new creative outlet, and after only a little time, we stop dead in our tracks. People are people. The Jews 2,500 years ago took on a project. We can build this temple. We can build this temple. We're building this temple. 1 month later, they flame out. I don't know what it is for you. We're going to get out of debt. Oh, Christmas. Oh, I forgot about that. And now it's January again. So we can't do that. Oh, I know. I'm going to go on a diet. Did you see double stuffed Oreos are on half price? I'll do that later. We're going to go to the gym. Every year, every January, there are many people that go to the gym every January. And by February, where are they? It gets hard. It gets hard when we don't make the progress we think we should make, and we get incredibly discouraged. And we can note that we all experience difficult moments, and when we experience difficult moments, we get discouraged. That's exactly what happened to the people of God. We're going to do this for God. It's going to be amazing. And in 1 month, when it didn't go like what they expected, they got incredibly discouraged. And then God, speaking through Haggai, asked them this question as God is trying to get to the root of their discouragement. If you're discouraged today, perhaps you're discouraged because of one of these two reasons we find revealed in the question that Haggai asks. Haggai asked them on behalf of God this. Maybe. Can you give me an assist, down arrow? No, you can't. Don't worry about it. Haggai asked them on behalf of God, "Who of you is left that saw the house in its former glory?" In other words, who's old enough to remember Solomon's temple? Wasn't it amazing? You look at the temple and he says, "How does it look to you now? Does it seem like nothing? Who of you remembers the former temple and its amazing glory? Does this one look nothing like nothing to you?" And from that, we get the two causes of discouragement in your notes, if you're taking notes. The first one is comparisons. The first one is comparisons, and then the second one is a lack of progress. A lack of progress. Comparisons and a lack of progress. Very certainly, these people are doing the same thing that we oftentimes do, which leads us to become discouraged. And we note that they were comparing their start with someone else's finish. They were comparing their start with someone else's finish. They had just started rebuilding the temple, and the temple doesn't look very good, and their finish was so much better 50 years before. In fact, Bible scholars estimate that Haggai was probably around 70 years old, maybe in his mid-70s when he wrote this book, when he prophesied to them, which means 50 years before they were in captivity, he would have been at least an older teenager, certainly old enough to remember the former glory, the former temple. Wow, Solomon's temple was amazing then. And this one isn't amazing at all. And there's this sense of comparing someone's start to someone's finish. I don't know about you, but I get incredibly discouraged a lot of time when I compare where other people are that I'm not or that I would like to be. Well, he's got a great job. He's got an amazing car, a fantastic house. I hate my job. My car barely runs and I'm renting it in a bad neighborhood. You might be a lady and you're comparing with someone else's kids or grandkids versus your kids or grandkids. Man, they go to a perfect school with perfect outfits. They are got baked goods, and man, they've even got college credit in the fifth grade. My kids are barely dressed. I think they had pants on today. They forgot their lunch money, and they're flunking PE. You feel really bad because you're comparing. And then you go on social media and so-and-so showed pictures of their latest trip or vacation and you're like, wow, I'll never leave the neighborhood. You get discouraged. What's wrong with me? That you're not living the high life. Why? Because you're comparing. The Jewish people are comparing their start of the temple to the glory of Solomon's temple. It seems only weeks after being stirred to restart the temple, they have failed. So comparing often leads to discouragement, which says to me, don't compare. Then there's also the second issue, the lack of progress. And this is what they did. We're a month into this, we're not doing well, so we're trying so hard, but we're not getting anywhere. And then they begin to feel discouraged. I didn't think it was progressing fast enough. I didn't think I was progressing fast enough drawing. I mean, I would look at some of Da Vinci's drawings and say, why don't mine look like his? Diet, getting in shape, and after a month of eating green stuff and nuts and doing more walking and exercising than you've ever done before, at least in the last 20 years, and instead of losing 20 pounds, it's like you only lost 3. And unfortunately for some of us, we gained 2. You take 2 steps forward and it seems like we're taking 3 steps back. Or maybe for you it's like your whole spiritual life lacks the progress you said that you were going to do only a few weeks ago. You think, I've been a Christian for all of this time and yet I still say bad words. We're going to worship this morning, we're going to church today and we cussed all the way there because we're late. And you know... You know, would you think by this time you'd be further along? Wouldn't you think? Or that you'd be like so-and-so? Stop laughing. The reality of life is we all live there from time to time. We all live at that point. We compare ourselves and we get discouraged. Our progress is slow or seemingly non-existent and we're dispirited. But this is what God tells the people to do when this is where they are at. He says, "But now be strong, Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. "Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest." And I'd have you read the rest with me, but I don't think we can get there. He says, "Be strong, all you people of the land," declares the Lord. "And work, for I am with you," declares the Lord Almighty. Be strong. Be strong, you who are comparing. Be strong, you who are not making progress you thought you'd be making. But don't quit. God says, "No. Work. For I am with you," declares the Lord Almighty. The Lord continues on and says, "This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear." And so we know, what do you do when you are discouraged? And God says essentially two things. The first thing he says is to be strong. To be strong. And then he says, do the work. Be strong, do the work. Be strong, do the work. What do I do when I get discouraged? God says to me, be strong, do the work. When you want to give up, what do? God says to you, be strong. Do the work. There's a great book out there, a time management book called Eat the Frog. Have you ever heard of it? Who wants to eat a frog? Raise your hand. It's the worst thing. It's the toughest thing you'd ever want to do. And the idea is do the first thing in the morning that's the toughest thing to do. Eat the frog. Get that hard thing out of the way and then you can get past it and do the easy stuff. And the great news is we don't have to be strong in our own power. We live in New Testament times, which says, and we note, when you are weak, his strength is made perfect in you. When you are weak, his strength is made perfect in you. I wrestled with this for years. Who wants to be weak? Who wants to be seen as weak? But the apostle says, when you are weak, his strength is made perfect in you. In other words, I don't have to be strong in my own strength. I've got a supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in me. It is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, who dwells within those who believe. So when you can't do any more and you're about to give up, that's when you are a perfect candidate for God's strength to be strong through you. When I am weak, he is strong. Be strong in the Lord and do the work. Be strong and do the work. So what do you do when you get discouraged? Be strong and do the work. Be strong and do the work. Keep pushing forward. Eat the frog. This leads to the principle. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Does that make sense? Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Consistency is about showing up and doing the work, being reminded that God is with you to strengthen you. Be strong in the Lord. Put down another stone. Put down another stone. Put down another stone. We don't want to give up. What do? You be strong and you do the work. You be strong and keep praying even when you don't see results. You be strong and continue to open up God's Word and seek Him daily in His Word. You be strong and continue to do the right thing even when you're not getting anywhere. You be strong and continue to show up and exercise even when the numbers are going the wrong way. You be strong and continue to pay off your debt. If only $10 a month, you take a step in the right direction and you do it month after month after month, year after year. You continue to do the hard right instead of the easy wrong. You be strong and you continue to love when other people are not loving you in return. You be strong and continue to love your spouse, even when your spouse is uncaring. You be strong and continue to reach out to that person, even when they don't want to hear you or let you in. You be strong and continue to reach out to that person that needs to know Christ, even if they don't want to have anything to do with it. You be strong and continue to love your kids, your grandkids. Pray for them. Stand with them. Even if they don't stand for anything you believe in. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Just show back up and do what God called you to do. In Galatians 6, 8, and 9, the New Testament verse, God tells us, whoever sows, this is in your sermon notes, read it with me. At the very bottom of your sermon notes, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Be strong and do the work. Remembering to the Jews, for I am with you, God says, and Jesus also reminds us, I will not leave you or forsake you. Do the work in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit, and at the proper time, the harvest will be reaped. God says, do step one, then step two, then step three. Because when you do the work God is calling you to do, God is there in the midst of you giving, you and the power God gives you, God is there in the midst to put down one more stone and then another stone. Show up and do what? Do the work. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that you have walked with us through our years and ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to draw us to yourself. Lord, that you would continue to help us to seek you, to love you, to glorify you. And God, that you would be praised and glorified in our lives. Give us strength to do the work, to stand on the solid rock where there is no shifting of sand. That you may be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.